How are you doing tonight?
Good, thanks.
Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same.
I can't hear you very well,
I'm
so sorry.
Okay, just follow my lead, okay?
The echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name. Your name.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Signs of Life Radio's Medium Insights Hour, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. This is a show where we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. I'm Roman Karpyshka, and I'm very thrilled to have our guest tonight, the very talented and gifted medium, Kira Newton. Kira is a former fitness professional and life coach that has been developing her mediumship talents for over a decade. During COVID, she shut her business down and started doing psychic mediumship readings full time. She's got a deep desire to build supportive communities, to help bring messages from the spirit world, and to provide information about ethical mediumship. She's built a large following on TikTok, where she provides free live readings, as well as on Instagram and her private Facebook group called The Spirit Circle. In private practice, she does one-on-one psychic medium sessions, she teaches group classes on psychic mediumship development, and helps mediums establish their own unique online businesses. So you can find her on social media at Medium Kira Elizabeth, or her website, mediumkiraelizabeth.com. Okay, so it's all one word. So tonight's show, folks, is, again, as always, it's for research and information purposes only. So we welcome your questions. And please try to call in with some questions. That would be awesome. But keep in mind that Kira is not going to be performing any readings. We are going to have a great show tonight. We got a lot of good questions. And, if you have any questions for our esteemed listener, please feel free to call 1-888-627-6008. Or if you prefer, 1-323-744-4831. So Kira, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here tonight.
We're happy to have you. And if I'm not mistaken, this is your first time on Medium Insights, isn't it?
It is. It is my first time.
That's great. Where have you been?
Where have I been?
Yeah, I should have been talking to you a long time ago.
I would have loved that. Absolutely. Yeah.
So how have you been?
I've been great. Yeah? I have been really good. Yes, just busy with my work and having a great time with it.
Fantastic. Where are you situated? Like, where do you call home?
I call home in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Oh, wow. Okay. You having decent weather there?
Oh, it's so hot.
Oh, I'm sure. Yes. we're getting a ton of rain here right now as we speak. Big thunderstorm across the Northeast. And, you know, hey, if I lose power, then this show might be cut short. So I'm just letting all the listeners know we're in the middle of a thunderstorm, and you know, we do less power. That's pretty much the end of it. But hopefully, knock on wood, we'll be okay.
Gosh.
So Santa Fe, wow. So tell me, how did you become involved in mediumship?
That's a great question. I guess I came through the back door a little bit. I was going through a very difficult time in my life, as I've noticed many of us do when we make this switch over. And I was sort of just looking to find myself, heal some things that were happening within my life and myself. And I took some shamanic classes. I took some tarot classes. And I ended up taking a Reiki class, which I knew wasn't really what I was going to end up doing, but I just wanted to find something. And it was through that energy work, honestly, that I started sensing the spirit world.
Huh. So when you, are you like clairvoyant, clairaudient, or sentient? Like, how do you get your message?
Sentient is my strongest, but I'm also, I definitely get the picture. So that's gotten stronger and stronger. And as the years have gone on, each, you know, each Claire has developed itself a little bit more, which I'm happy about. So it was through that feeling of energy that I started to sense people and give messages. I didn't really know that wasn't very ethical at the time, but I do now. But that was actually just how I started. I just started feeling people around the people that I was giving Reiki to. And I ended up quitting that and just going into developmental classes.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
So yeah. Who did you take classes with? Did you take it with other mediums that we might know of?
Most likely. My first mentorship was with Andy Bing.
Andy Bing, okay.
Bing. He's a UK medium. I also studied with Paul Jacobs, also UK medium.
Oh.
Phil and Carrie, also, well, they're Scottish, but I think they call themselves UK mediums. And then I've also just taken lots of different classes. Lisa Williams, you know, just a couple of other names out there, but I didn't study the way that I did with those.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how mediumship is such a big science in the UK, you know?
Yes.
They're really, really into it, a lot more than we are over here.
Yes, they are, and they've got so many spiritualist churches, and I mean, that is a religion, but it's just so much more well-known and accepted than it is here. And it's also very different. The style of mediumship is very different there than it is in America.
What do you mean different? Like, is it more formal or?
Yes. It's much more formal. Even just the style of presenting and giving evidence is very different, I've noticed, from being trained in the UK and being trained in America. I think there's strong pieces in both styles, but they do tend to be a little bit different.
Right. So do they train you like on how to prepare yourself for a reading and all that kind of stuff?
Oh yes, there. I've spent many days crying, where it was, you know, this isn't good enough evidence, Kira. You need to do this again. Why don't you do it this way? There was a lot of structure on the mechanics, and I will say I'm happy that I learned that, but I've needed to find myself within the structure as well. So yes, they teach you how to prepare for a reading, how to deliver the reading well with what they would call solid evidence, determine what that means. They also would like to see that you deliver it in a way that is not emotional, which I agree with as well, and understand what it is that the need of the person that is sitting in front of you is also. So they want you to know, what is the real need? Are they here really more on a psychic level, or do they need to get something else for you? So there's a lot of different layers to what we were taught. And I'm very grateful that I was taught in that way.
Now, most of your clients, do they come in for like psychic readings or mediumship readings?
No, I was told that that was what was going to happen. You know, my mentor has always said, you know, you're going to go out and be a medium and you're going to just think that this is what's going to happen from here on out. And everyone's going to want a psychic reading from you. And it's been the opposite for me. It's been about 98% mediumship readings and the rest psychic readings. Sometimes I'll get a blend where they want both, but I tend to just be the mediumship.
Right. Well, you know, grief is a very strong motivator.
Yes.
You know, so that's probably contributing to that. But the psychic readings are, that's an interesting thing as well. So I'm sure when you, that 2%, when you actually do those, it must be like a kind of a breath of fresh air, just something different.
It is really nice. And it's similar, but not, as you know, it's not exactly the same. And it's nice to just have the feedback from the person in front of you, just kind of going through what's happening with them and giving them some different insights on how to look at it. You know? Also clarification, and I think it feels good getting a psychic reading, because on some level you know it, but you maybe didn't see it that way, or you weren't looking at it in that way. And it's kind of nice to feel that confirmation from someone that doesn't even know you.
Yeah.
Even more of a confirmation, you know, it's like, well, you couldn't have known this. So it's nice to feel that way.
Absolutely. Now, how do you like prepare yourself for a reading? What is your trick or tricks?
That's such a good question, because as I said, my background is very structured in what we were taught on how to do things. And what I have found, and this is my experience, but that the spirit world is always available. So whether I sit in meditation for 30 minutes or not, they will be there. So now I have learned that it is just shifting my mind to the spirit world to receive the information. I used to sit for 30 minutes, get a lot of anxiety, wonder if I was going to be okay, listen to music, light candles. And those are all wonderful things. But what I realized was I was just preparing my mind to shift. And now I understand that it is my need is that I just put my mind into an altered space, and then I will be able to receive the messages. So now I've just learned to do that, and I get more accurate information because I'm not getting in the way of myself. I'm not psyching myself up. I'm not saying I have to do it this way. I don't have to follow the structures that I had put in place for myself anymore. And I've learned how to be a little bit freer with it. And once I learned that, and I was more relaxed, the information could come better for me. Interestingly.
Do you have any kind of preparation for, you know, to kind of protect yourself against, like, you know, the lower vibration spirits, for lack of a better term?
Honestly, Roman, I don't believe that.
Okay. That's fine.
I don't believe I need to protect myself. Again, all of this is just my, you know, my perspective. So no need to do what I do. But I have not found that there is ever a need to do that for myself. I've never experienced anything even close to lower vibration. Okay. I feel that the spirit world is highly intelligent, and they do always come from a place of love. Now, with that said, are there people that weren't the best people in the world that come? Yes. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that I will be in a space where they will, you know, take over my body, or, you know, haunt the world, or give me evil things, curse me. And I know this to be true because it's never needed to happen in my practice. And I've done thousands of readings at this point. Right. So for me, I sort of like proved it's just not necessary. I was also taught that as well, that it wasn't a needed thing. So there we may have a difference in teachings, but, I very much believe that you need to test what works for you, including the rules. Mm-hmm. So if you are given rules with anything in your life, not just mediumship, I think it's important to ask yourself, well, why, and is this needed? And then you can find out if it is actually needed, or if that's just something that somebody is doing.
Oh, nice.
Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like a belief. Yeah.
Like maybe it's just a belief they have, and that's totally fine if that's a belief. But if you don't have the belief, then does that still happen? Is it still necessary?
So you've encountered spirits that weren't necessarily the best people on earth.
Yes.
When they're on the other side, are they still like the same kind of personalities, or did they develop like, you know, good traits when they crossed over, or what do you typically find?
It's interesting because for the person to come forward and provide clear and accurate evidence that it's actually them, then they do need to provide their personality, which they do. Mm-hmm. But they often, I have found, bring up the things that they would like to acknowledge and apologize for. And I've also noticed that it isn't necessary that the person sitting in front of me accept it It's just something they need to say.
Gotcha.
So it's like, I recognize that I harmed you on some level, and mm-hmm. I do want to say that I take responsibility for that, and I also apologize.
Right.
So mm-hmm. some people are like, well, I don't want to hear it, and that's totally fine. And other people are sort of blown away of like, I never thought he'd say that. You know, I thought I'd hear that from him. And so that's kind of an interesting thing that I've experienced many times, actually.
Right. Now, do you prefer like doing in-person readings, or do you prefer it over, you know, over the web?
I don't actually have a preference. You can do either, because we're working with energy. Mm-hmm. I guess I just don't have a preference.
Okay.
Sometimes it's nice to meet somebody in person, but since COVID, it's like I've gotten so out of that habit.
Right.
I just forget what it is like anyways. So I guess it's nice to have a person sit in front of you. And I think sometimes people have the idea that that is necessary to get a better reading, which mm-hmm. isn't necessarily the truth. So sometimes it can help just because that person believes it's going to be a better reading, and they bring that energy with them to the reading.
Gotcha.
And I do like to do in-person readings for families or groups of people. That's kind of fun, just to see them and the joy in their face. And so I guess I would say that's kind of a nice thing.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I mean, I've been a sitter in person, and also, over the internet or over a phone call, and I find the quality the same.
Yes. Right. So many people are like, well, are you still going to get the information? And I do have to say yes. And sometimes it's better because the
lack of cues, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And honestly, Roman, I very often do my readings on the phone because I don't want to have a cue at all. I do not want to see the person's cues. And in some ways, I think they're like, well, oh my God, that's not really a good idea. But then when they get the reading, they're like, okay, well, there is no way she can't even see me that she would be able to get this information. So I think it's kind of nice in the end for them.
Yeah. I found that the most evidential kind of things are stuff that like that you might present that the sitter doesn't know, but finds out later.
Yes. It's the best.
Those are the best. Those are class A, because you cannot be accused of mind reading or anything like that, because the sitter didn't even know it. So it's like a double blind kind of thing.
And it's so fun.
That's happened. Yeah, that's happened. It happens all the time. And those are the best, you know. It's too bad that you're usually not around to see when the light bulb goes off, you know, that it happens after, you know.
But the joy that I get from the emails after, that's like, oh,
the emails after. Yes, of course. Yes.
The follow-ups that are like, I can't believe this, Kira. You're not going to believe it. I'm like, I'm actually going to believe it. But I love to hear the follow-up because of it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Those are really fascinating.
Yeah.
Now, you obviously have a lot of clients and everything. Do you have like return clients? How often do you see your clients, the ones that do return?
That's such a good question. Another good question. I do have return clients. I have a lot of return clients. I have to be careful with it, because I don't want a person to need the reading in that way, of an ongoing way, though. Sometimes I have found when people are really in a lot of deep grief, they want to return again and again a little bit too quickly.
Right.
Because they haven't processed the grief, and they hope to be with their person. And at a certain point, unfortunately, we all need to be with the grief and be on that journey, and know that only time changes it. It doesn't take it away. I want to be clear. I'm not saying it takes away grief, because it does not. Grief only changes. It never goes away. But in a way, they need to kind of process before they come back again. And I've only had that a couple of times, I'll have to say, where a person wants to return again and again every couple of weeks. And I've said, you know, I think we need to wait for a little while. Yes, I have returning people, but more the returning is, you know, several months later, or maybe it's every year that we're coming back. the psychic readings, definitely more often than that.
Mm, right. So tell us about your e-readings. That's a new spin.
Yeah. Well, those are only psychic. I won't do that mediumistically. But okay. The e-readings, I found that in this interesting culture with social media and texting, especially with the younger generation, and mm-hmm. then COVID on top of it, people don't really like to be as social as they once were. So they don't like to get on the phone. They don't, well, I don't even, right? Like, who likes to pick up the phone? Just text me, right? Yeah. And they want the option of being emailed or having a voice email to them or a video. Mm-hmm. So once I opened up the e-readings, many people wanted to do that because of that reason, but also because it was just a short little, let's ask a couple of questions and see how I feel about this person. And almost everybody that signs up with the e-reading comes back for an in-depth reading because now they know me. And I also think it's good that way because it's not as much of an investment, and you can really hear somebody within the reading and say, okay, I really resonate with this psychic medium and I want a little bit more, or I may just come back for another e-reading. But it's a great opportunity in many ways because of it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So how long, you've been certified with Forever Family Foundation for a while now, right?
No, I have not.
That's why we haven't crossed paths.
Yeah. I got certified in March.
Ah, fantastic.
Yes. So no, it's not been that long.
Okay. Well, it means a lot, the certification. It's a big thing because, you went through it. The tests are, I'm told they're very difficult, and, it's a complete blind reading. So yeah, good for you. Fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you.
Of course. Hey, what do you mean when you say ethical mediumship?
Such a good question.
Thanks. I'm full of good questions.
Yeah, you are. You must be a radio host. So ethical mediumship. I think there's many things that go with that. And I guess I'll just start with a few of the major ones for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Take your time.
So ethical to me means that we are not invading somebody's privacy or free will. So we're not walking up to somebody on the street like we see on television and saying, I've got your grandmother here and she's got a message for you. Because first of all, that would scare some people mm-hmm. And take them back. I mean, some people have a really deep belief that is not something that is good. They think it's evil and right. Scare them, right? Mm-hmm. And also, if they did not ask for a message, it's not really okay for us to give them one without them asking. And so that would be in the line of ethical. And I will say the television shows, we are given a real bad, not rap, but we're not looking at reality there, because when we're walking up to somebody on the street with a bunch of cameras behind us, 20 cameras behind us, you have to sign documents to say yes to that. It's not, they can't.
Oh, I know. I was on the, that show, The Long Island Medium.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah. I was on the show. I was actually on the show last episode.
Were you red?
I was red. Yes, absolutely.
And wow.
Teresa did an amazing job, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure she did.
Yeah, she actually revealed stuff that there's no way she could have known. Yeah. And I was very surprised that stuff like that actually blew my mind, didn't make the cut.
Yeah.
You know, they edited. It is pure editing. There's so much editing. Yes. But that's showbiz for you, right?
It is. And so that's the thing, is like they're presenting it as this very unethical thing, but actually what they're doing is ethical because they're making you sign a bunch of papers, as you know. Mm-hmm. There's no way they would be allowed to do that. That's completely illegal. And the next thing I was going to say is the editing involved, it gives people a really unclear idea of what a real reading is. a medium gets things wrong from time to time. They're not going to always be 100%. So we have to keep that in the back of our mind, because what we're doing is a difficult thing. We're translating something and it's an interpretation. So we have to be, you know, careful about thinking that we have to be, you know, 100% accurate all the time. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I find very unethical is to tell people bad things. You have an attachment, you know, well, like we were saying with protecting yourself, you have an evil spirit attached to you. You have a bad energy that's been following you around. You have a curse. You have very fear-based things that would actually damage somebody, that would damage somebody's mental health. And I've actually worked with people that have come to me saying, "I'm cursed." And I'm like, "What? Where? What happened?" but I've had several people do this, and it's really sad. Another thing I would call unethical is not giving evidence, because you are not proving that there is an existence of life after death. Right. You are giving general information that allows people to remain skeptical and give the rest of us a very bad rap, because you're saying things like, "Oh, your father really loves you and he sits by your bed at night and he's so proud of you." And while those things may be within a reading, it needs to be backed up by the actual evidence of mediumship. And there are, unfortunately, many people that do that as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And and it's too bad, because it's given the real mediums a bad rep. You know?
It gives us a terrible rep, like the fear-based things, the walking up to somebody on the street, just it's very...
Sometimes it can be like nice, like a nice thing, like your husband told me, you know, you're like... I know this one lady who was at a teacher's conference, and another teacher came up to her and said that the teacher that I know's husband passed away, which he did, but she did not know that he paid off the car loan, you know? So she just went up to this person and said, "Your husband told me to tell you the car loan's paid off." And it was, you know, so something like that is not asked for, but that's, you know, because she was worrying about it. She was worrying about, how am I going to make the car payments, blah, blah, blah. And not a worry anymore, you know?
Right. Yeah. And so sometimes, you know, the way that we are taught is not to do that, because if I walked up to somebody who was raised Catholic and was told that this is the work of the devil, and I said, "I've got a message from your husband," they would just probably pass out. But at the other, it is a little bit difficult, because sometimes it's great.
Yeah. You know? Sometimes it is great. Yeah. I just related like an actual story that happened to a friend of mine. She called me to tell me that, and it made my day. It was really great.
And it probably made hers too. So yes, of course, there's loopholes in there. We just have to be. I guess I'll put it this way. It doesn't sound like this was happening to her, but I find that people that are doing that, it's very much ego-driven. It's about them looking special, unique, and having a gift handed from God. And I want to break that idea in people, because that's really just a little bit more self-serving. Every person has the ability to connect with the spirit world. Everyone has psychic abilities. Now, sometimes it's a little easier for some to learn them or what have you. But
some people are musically oriented, some aren't.
Exactly. Exactly. But you can develop the skill. You certainly can develop the skill. So when people, you know, come off with a little bit of that attitude, I just feel like, oh, what a shame, because you are making it seem like this is unattainable. And it's not. It's very attainable.
Well, I mean, you do teach mediumship classes, mediumship development classes. What are some of the topics that you touch on when you teach a class for us aspiring mediums out there?
That's a great question. So, I said a great question again. Look, you're full of them. What I do is I teach My view of this is to teach it in a way that allows people to be a little bit more relaxed with the information. So first, we're going to go through how to feel the essence of the spirit world. We're going to feel how that is a little bit different than your essence. Their energy is different than yours. So getting that feeling first, that would be included in what you were asking about in preparing, because in the beginning, we do need to prepare a little bit because we don't know what that feels like. So getting them there and then allowing them to pick up whatever it is that they're getting and say it without filtering, because the beginning mediums and even the advanced mediums filter themselves because they're afraid of getting something wrong. And when we're afraid of getting something wrong, we shut down our energy and we shut down our aura. So we actually get it wrong because we are now not sensitive anymore. We are not, our clairs are not working.
We're
in the brain. We also need to remember that mediumship, and you know this because of the scientific studies and more coming out, that the medium brain and the psychic brain are an altered state of the mind. So we cannot be getting psychic or mediumship information if we are in the brain logically trying to work things out.
Right.
And that's where people struggle. It's where they really, really struggle. They want to figure it out. Is this right? Is this wrong? I think this is it. This isn't right, so I'm not going to say it. And then you say, oh, well, actually, it was this gentleman in my life. And they say, oh my gosh, I was going to say that and I didn't. And you hear it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that filtering is what's going to make a medium amazing or average.
So getting rid of those filters is probably how you overcame any doubts about the authenticity of the messages that you received from spirit when you were first starting off, right?
Correct. Correct. And as I went through before, I was taught in a very structured way, which does work for many people. But what happened was when I was being questioned in some of the ways, I was shutting myself down because I thought, well, I'm just not very good. Mm-hmm. So what I had to do is go on my own and start to just say what it was that I was getting. And so I would be with a client and I'd say, so I'm going to give you everything that I'm getting, and I can be wrong because it's a little bit of a game of charades for me, and it's an interpretation on my end. So if I'm misinterpreting, that's totally fine. You can tell me, but I will be giving everything that I get, even if it's strange. And I found that when I stopped doing the filtering and I would say, you know, I'm seeing this. Let's see if I can find an example for you. I just had this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'm seeing a balloon and I just see one and it's just floating in the air and I feel like it's red. And I'm getting the sense that this has happened after your son has passed. Can you then understand that you released balloons for your son's passing? And the person said, yes, I do that every year. And they're all red. So you can see that by me getting the information and just saying it, even though what I saw was a red balloon, was allowing me to be free with my thoughts. And as I was free, more feeling came in and more sensation and more visuals came in versus just seeing a red balloon and fixating on a red balloon and just not knowing where to go from there.
Okay. So you're actually kind of feeding off the energy of the sitter a little bit, huh?
Well, you're getting, so this is what's interesting about mediumship. You get, or at least for me, you get the information and it's a very fast thing. But as you go back to the thing that you saw, you're feeling into the story. You're feeling into the information. So not that the sitter is the energy, it's the information is coming from the spirit world. But if I just attach onto that one picture that they gave me, I'm not going to go very far. But if I can go into, well, what else am I seeing? Oh, I see it's in the sky. What else am I feeling? Oh, I feel like this is after this person has passed. I feel that I want to talk about being recognized. I feel that this is in a memorial. And so all of the things that I'm saying is coming at that exact time versus trying to filter it out and say, okay, let's see what happened. I got a picture of a balloon and then this happened. And then
Do you take notes or anything while you're doing a reading? I know some people have a notepad with them. Some mediums carry a notepad and draw or whatever. Do you use it?
Yeah, I was taught never to do that, and now I do it.
Okay.
And not that they wouldn't allow us to go outside of the structures that we were taught. I think this was just with the spiritualist structure, with the way that they prefer you do things. And the reason they did that, and I'll just give you a backup, I think, is because you're demonstrating and you can't be on the stage with a doodle pad. You need to be able to look at the audience. So I don't need a doodle pad. The only reason I take notes is if I'm gotten something wrong and I just need to get it out of my head and move on. So I'll write down number 24 because I wasn't accurate about that. I'll move on. And almost always when I circle back, I can understand where that came from and I can bring it up. But because I'm in an altered state of mind, I won't remember the number 24. So I just write it down and move on to free my mind again.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it's all about the freedom of the mind and the freedom of the body.
Right. So, but it must draw a lot of energy out of you. Like, how many readings can you do in a day?
Can I or will I?
Well, they're probably the same question. Yeah,
really. It is the same question. I prefer to keep my energy. I prefer to do about 3 hours. But I can do more. I can do 4 to 5, but I don't want to because that fifth one, I do struggle on making sure my energy is high enough to get accurate information. So yeah, I prefer 3. That's the magic number for me. But I could do more if I wanted to.
I hear you. Wow. So what is your take on how the loved ones on the other side handle physical separation from us? Do they miss us? Do they grieve as well?
Oh, I don't know that I don't know that they grieve in the way that we do, at least. They certainly do not do it in the way that we do. My understanding, and I'm going to just give myself the freedom that this understanding could change, but at the moment, my understanding is that they're not grieving, but what they're coming with is love, strength, and support. So they are witnessing our grief. They're witnessing our process and our pain, and often bring it up. I heard you when you were on the beach and you called my name. I know you were thinking of me. I mean, I very often get messages about what someone was doing when they were thinking about their loved one, and the loved one will say something about it. I know you wrote my name in the sand. So it's like that acknowledgement saying, I am right here. I am only a thought away. I'm just here. So more than them doing it, I think it's them witnessing us doing it and helping us, or trying through the process of trying to show us that they're available if we want them to be.
What is your take on reincarnation? Do you think that we come back, or maybe even if it's not in this world, maybe another world, or what do you think?
I believed that as a child for a very long time. I was taught otherwise, and now I've returned to say, I do think we come back. Mm-hmm. I do actually think that we come back because I have heard children speak to their mothers about their other mother. I've had several clients that have come to me with children who have said, I had another mommy before you.
Wow.
And they'll give the name of the mommy and they'll describe the place where they lived. And when they look it up, they will find that that information is actually accurate.
Oh, yeah. There's been a lot of research on reincarnation. That's Ian Stevenson and all of this. People after him, you know, there's just a whole bunch, and even right now there's a lot of theories on it. And you know, it was they even say it was one of the Book of Daniel, which was one of the book of Bibles that was in the Bible that was cast out, talked about reincarnation. And well, you know, they got rid of it just to, as a form of control, really, to tell people, hey, you only have one life, you have one chance, you know.
Right. Okay. Exactly. But yeah, I think that there is a second, third, fourth, and however many, I don't even know. But I do believe that very much now. I don't know how it works, and I'm definitely not the expert in that. But it does fascinate me.
I know that it works well from what I've read. It does. It has a lot to do with soul groups as well.
Mm-hmm.
Where yeah. You know, your soul group will be part of your reincarnation and will play different roles. You know, it's all part of learning. It's all to, you know, we incarnate because we're very brave souls to take on this very, very rough place called Earth, yeah. You know, whereas yeah. In spirit, it's a lot easier for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah. So are you doing any public readings at any point in the future that, like, do people hire you where it's like, you know, you go to an auditorium and 300 people come and you try to read that? That must be horrible.
That is a lot of people. Yeah. I, at the moment, do readings for churches.
Okay.
And it's, I guess it's more like 45, so not 300.
Okay.
And because we're in America, I'm doing these on Zoom. So the gotcha. Next one is in October. I was going to do a November on a cruise, but I couldn't go. Unfortunately, I had to cancel that one. And I can't remember the October one. But yes, that's the next one that I'll be doing. I would love to go do what you're talking about, a presentation in front of a live group, not maybe 300, but that would be everything for me. I would love to do it.
Wow. Well, one day you will, I think.
Oh, thank you. I hope so. I hope so.
Do you ever follow up with your clients? Like, let's say you've gave them a piece of advice during a reading, or their loved ones gave you a piece of advice to give them. Do you ever follow up to see if that, you know, advice that you gave them came to fruition, or what you told them to do, they did it or whatever?
I don't, because I don't want to get into their personal lives, but okay. They usually do follow up with me. And, you know, because it just like you were saying before, like when it comes to fruition, they're like, oh, my gosh, I cannot believe this actually happened. And they're usually so excited. They do reach out to you. I had a woman once, I'll share with you an example that.
Sure. I mean, you're not giving any names, so go right ahead.
Oh, no, I will never give names. Absolutely. She was very skeptical when she came to me and. She didn't tell me at the time, which is fine. I don't mind skeptics. I understand why you would be skeptical.
Well, but open-minded, yeah.
Uh-huh. Sometimes it's a little difficult, but I don't mind it. So she came and I had said, apparently, that I kept seeing a church, and it was a very specific name of a church. And she said, wow, that's a church I went to when I was young. I wonder why that's coming up. And I said, well, you'll be lighting the candles for someone. And this will be happening in the same church. And she was really confused. And I didn't know what to say because I didn't know what I was saying either, obviously. And she said that I had brought it up three times. And I had brought up the name. Well, what had happened was about 2 or 3 months later, she had reached out and said, you kept saying the name of this church and the name of this person. That person actually passed, and her memorial or her service is in that church. And when I walked in the church, we were supposed to go and light the candles.
Mm-hmm.
So she had no idea, and nor did I, about what I was talking about. But her grandmother had come to say that she would be going to this church for the passing of this very special person. And she was basically saying, it's okay, because I know this is happening and I will be there when you enter this church and all of these things will come for you. And it did end up happening.
I wonder if most spirits come to their funerals and their, you know, and the wakes and stuff like that, if they're there. What do you think?
100%. 100%. Yeah. The amount of times that I have been in a reading and they've said, remember when you read that song that I wrote? Or do you remember when your daughter stood up and could barely speak, but she read that whole memorial speech? Mm-hmm. They say it all the time. I can't believe how many people showed up. I didn't even realize. There are so many comments that have to do with that. So yes, they're there. And why wouldn't you be? I would.
Well, yeah, it's an attestation of how you lived your life, right?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
It's the manifestation, and you want to hear what people are saying, and they're all there for you. So of course that's going to pull the energy in, you know, yeah. It's all the thoughts about you. It's all the memories. It's all the experiences and the, you know, it's really, really cool.
Have you ever gone to like a wake and you've seen somebody that is like in the afterlife because they're hanging out there or felt them?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have.
I'm sure you have. I'm sure you have. So that must be kind of creepy a little bit.
I guess I wouldn't say creepy, but I would say very sad. Mm. Very sad. I once saw, and this was one, like, speaking of, now you're reminding me, maybe Spirit mm-hmm. World's reminding me. This was one time that I really held my tongue as to not speak about what someone was saying to me. That happened with a young man that had passed to spirit, and his mother was there, and I could see him with her, and it was very difficult not to go up to her and say, he's just right here. He's got, you know, he's just right by your side. And I know that if I opened my mouth to say it, there would be more that I would have said, but I didn't do it.
You would open up the floodgates, probably.
I would have opened up the floodgates, and she hadn't asked me, and I didn't want to go say, hey, I am a medium, and, you know, like all the things that I just told you. But yeah, I do see that. And it's a little bit challenging because you can see that they're right there, and you can see the grief and the sadness that somebody is overcome with. And it's like, I just want to bridge that gap just for a second for you. But yeah.
No, you're better off not. I mean, I've been studying, you know, books on mediumship and reading them for years now. And so I consider myself to a quasi expert on the matter. And a close friend of mine passed, and right before he passed, I just wanted to tell him, don't worry, there's an afterlife, you know. And many yeah. times when people close to me have passed, I held my tongue. But with this one friend, I was particularly close to him. He was a really good guitar player, and I'm a guitar player. And I just told him, don't worry, you're going to be great. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be beautiful, blah, blah, blah. And to my surprise, he didn't want to talk about it. He just, you know, like, I'm trying to do him a fit. But, you know, that taught me a lesson. You know, it's still a taboo subject a little bit. It's hard to, especially, you know, like, this guy is a staunch Catholic kind of thing. So it probably, you know, made him uncomfortable because of that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I was saying that's not ethical. Not that it's not from friend to friend. It's very different, obviously. But I say that from someone you don't know, because you could really scare somebody or make them very angry. They could feel as though you're trying to get money from them, or you're preying on them. Yeah, what is the catch?
If somebody comes up to me like that out of the blue, that's my first thing. What's the catch?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And so we want to be very careful to allow that to not be the case. And it's not, there's no fear in it at all. And that they're willing and ready to get a message from the spirit world.
Right. Now, as a medium, do you experience bereavement any differently than us non-mediumistic folks?
Absolutely not.
No way. Same thing. You're just as human as we are.
We're just as human. We are just as human. We are actually very sensitive people, so we feel things very deeply. It's very mm-hmm. difficult, and it's the same feeling as everyone else.
Now, I bring this up a lot with like a lot of my guests because I think it's an important question. Like when you have you had anybody that's close to you that has passed that you can like, hey, just pick up a communication with them anytime you want?
It's a little bit harder, I think, because it's not evidence, because you are giving evidence to yourself. So it's a little bit of a
trust. True.
Yeah, you're right.
You're giving evidence to yourself. I never thought of it that way. That's great.
And so the only way that, so no, okay, let me just get my words out here. No, I don't think it's like that, because I very, very much believe in evidence, and I want to know that the evidence is there. I want to know things I can't know. Mm-hmm. So if I am working with the spirit world, that's my spirits, my spirit team, then I feel that I can communicate with them, but I don't feel like, oh, here's the answer, because that could very much be in my head until I know it's evidence. So instead of that, what I do is I ask for a fun sign, like, show me your name in weird places. And that happens. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so fun. Or I've never been one to find pennies, and I ended up asking for, okay, then give me some pennies and dimes. I collected like 17 in 1 week in weird places too. So instead of feeling like I'm picking up the phone, I'd rather have someone do that, a medium, do it for me, so that it's beyond a shadow of a doubt for me. Uh-huh. And I'd rather have the communication come in a way that I know I can't doubt myself, and that my mind is not making up the information.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, that's a good point, because yeah, you can present evidence to yourself, but it's you presenting it to yourself. So how is that evidence? You know,
exactly how I know how this person died. I know what the personality is. I know what the shared memories are. Mm-hmm. And even if they were giving me something, I would probably doubt it, to be honest.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, yeah. You know what?
And then the last thing I want to ask.
Yeah.
I want to just ask you something really quickly that maybe some of your audience have wondered about. Why have you not developed your mediumship?
You are the first person that I ever interviewed that asked me that. yeah, I mean, I was, you know, kind of torn between the schools of mediumship is a developed thing and mediumship is a gift from God. Mm-hmm. And it's somewhere in between, I think, just like some people are more musical than others.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just, you know, I'm raising three kids, and I'm, mm-hmm. you know, I'm very prominent in my community, and I'm very busy being the board of director for this and that, and being a musician also full-time, like, and a full-time job on top of that. It's like, you know, when I hit the bed, I just usually just go straight to sleep, you know, because yeah. I've been pretty busy. But thank you for asking me that. I've actually taken a mediumship course a long time ago, and it was determined that I have very good psychrometric abilities. I was able to grab this person's ring, and the name John came out, and
the
person freaked out. It's like, that was my grandfather's ring. His name was John, you know. It's like. And it just came out. I didn't even think about it, you know? So that was...
There you go. Exactly what I was saying earlier. You don't think about it. It just comes.
Your ego prevents you from... I think...
Correct.
...prevents us from being mediums, because it's, no, they're going to laugh at you. No, it's wrong information. No, it's wishful thinking, you know?
That's right. It's a very brave person that becomes a medium, because we do have to deal with the wrongs and the hard readings and the things like that. But
right. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, this was the fastest hour ever. As always, I love interviewing you guys, because it's so fascinating. And I really appreciate it, Kira. Thank you so much. Tell people how they can get a hold of you again. Let's do a little plug for you.
Oh, well, that's so sweet. And this has been a real, really fun hour. Thank you. Medium Kira Elizabeth, the hard part about that is my name is Keira. So mediumkiraelizabeth.com to book a reading with me. You can also find me on social media handles, mediumkiraelizabeth, Instagram and TikTok.
Fantastic. All right. Well, listen, Kira, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you listeners tuning in to find out a little bit more about how mediums work. And it was a fun hour, and we will see you in a month for the next show. And Kira, again, thank you, and have a great night, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.